Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking. It is what it is.
Yo, yo, peace, family. We are back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Otep, Barigani, and of course, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Brother Montoy, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio family. Thank you once again for joining us. We at Collective Minds say we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. You know, we started this platform for people to call in, and we can have constructive dialogue, you know, about what's going on in the world around us. So, you know, we appreciate the fam. This is also the last show of 2020. Round of applause for that. 2020 has been, you know, it's a lot of adjectives to describe 2020. But, you know, it's been amazing. It's been extraordinary. It's been unprecedented. It's been, you know, a lot of grief for some people and, you know, a great year for others. But nonetheless, we are here. So shout out to yourself if you made it on the line. Again, we appreciate you. And before we get started with the show, we're doing a 2020 recap. Queen Rigel, do you have any announcements? And how was your week, my sister?
My week was wonderful. I had a great week. No announcements. And I pass it on.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. My brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week, my brother? And do you have any announcements for us?
Hey, I had a good week as myself. I'm everything with me, copacetic. You know, as far as announcements, I want to say happy Kwanzaa to all my beautiful people out there who celebrate Kwanzaa. Today is the second day of Kwanzaa, which is Kujichagulia, which stands for self-determination. And as you know, Brother Mufasa is all about self-determination. So happy Kwanzaa
right,
to all my people out there. And let's get it in. It is what it is.
Let's get it in. Now, speaking of Kwanzaa, just real quick, I don't know if y'all seen this, but your girl Kamala Harris put out a video on our social media basically like, you know, me and my family grew up celebrating Kwanzaa, and she started talking about her favorite. Exactly. Oh, is the question. Like, I'm trying to figure out how does a East Indian, you know, born to Jamaican parents, she was raised in Canada, how did they grow up celebrating Kwanzaa? So I'm having a hard time believing that story. I mean, bro, when you look at the video, she got the red, black, and green candles in the background. You know, she going through the spiel like, yeah, we grew up celebrating Kwanzaa and the elders. We'd sit around and talk about the different attributes of Kwanzaa and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there like, we don't believe you, lady. You need more people. But I'm trying to just figure out, like, why is she, like, she just lies so easily, in my opinion, like, because I don't buy that for one bit. You have Indian parents, red dot Indian parents, no offense, and a Jamaican dad, and you talking about you celebrating Kwanzaa. But I just wanted to put that out there. You can look that up. That's on our social media. I just found that interesting. And I'm like, why is this woman trying so hard to identify with black Americans? But I digress.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brother Cam.
Huh?
Touch base on that that Biden clip you shared with me over the weekend.
For those that don't know, Biden had a Zoom call with quote unquote civil rights leaders. I think Al Sharpton was one of the most notable people on there. But it was about six or seven, you know, civil rights quote unquote leaders that he had a Zoom call with. And this dude basically was just, in my opinion, he just went full white supremacist. Like, he wasn't holding nothing back. He was basically telling black people, like, look, I'm not finna do no executive orders for you. I'm not about to do nothing, you know, specifically for y'all. He told them, he said, the country is doomed. Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but I'm very close, and you can check out the Zoom call because they kind of leaked it online. But I'm paraphrasing. He said the country is doomed, not just because of African Americans, but because white people will be a minority in 40 years or so. This is what he said.
By
2040. So, you know, he's concerned the country's going to be doomed. You know, he's saying that black people, we need to work with Hispanics and do this and do that. But, I mean, the whole Zoom call was very, you know, condescending. He was talking down to them folks. And nobody really called them to the carpet. Nobody checked them on it. They were just sitting there like good Negroes shaking their head.
You know why they didn't check him? Because they love his dirty draws. Him and Kamala then pulled the wool over black people's eyes so bad that he could sit there and probably call them B's and H's to their face, and they still wouldn't say nothing. Still wouldn't say. That man sit there and talk to them like they were children.
It is what it is.
But people want to talk about how rough Trump was. When every time I saw Trump sitting down with people, with black people, he was being polite and trying to work things out. I sat there and watched that man talk to them black folks like they was kids. And
like
not one of them
children.
Checked or said anything about it. It's disgraceful. I'm sick of it, y'all. I'm sick of it. It's like you're going back to the whole Kamala Harris with Kwanzaa thing. You sit there and you just look black folks in the face and you just say whatever you want to say, whether it's a lie. You just don't care. You just do us any kind of way. And because the majority of us are so foolish and don't really study and dive into studying these people like we should have, we just eat it up, yum, yum. Yep, she look black, she's black. Yep, Joe Biden is a good person, and as long as it ain't Trump, he's good for us. And that man sit there and slap some black folks around on that Zoom call.
Man.
Not one person said nothing about it. That's how I feel.
Man.
Now, maybe I'm being too hard, but it looked to me like he was sunning them.
He was sunning. Hey, bro, I think I saw the same thing. I'm with you, like, he was basically sunning them folks. He was basically saying, look, I'm not going to do nothing for you. And if you notice how Biden's moving, you know, with his cabinet picks, he's not, you know, he's not looking at putting black people in these positions that they thought they was getting. He basically like, look, y'all ain't getting no top-level cabinet positions. We going to put you some over here, a little some over here. But none of these big positions that people get, you know, when they bring in their cabinets and whatnot. So it's going to be very interesting. And what's scary about Kamala is how easily she lies. Like, she was just up there, just basically with a straight face lying. Now, that's scary. You know, just like you said that Tupac was her favorite rapper live, and she used to listen to Tupac and smoke weed in college, but Tupac wasn't out. Like, these little lies add up. Like, if she lying about little stuff like this, what else is this woman going to lie about? You know, so that's kind of scary to me. Like, she just, you know, it's just so easy to lie. But, again, I digress, fam. But yeah,
everybody who voted for him, congratulations. I hope you're getting what you want.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's looking like. But yeah, family, we back. We here. This is Collective Minds Radio. I'm Cosmic Kev. We have Queen Rising, Brother Mufasa. And this is the wrap-up show for 2020. Again, there's been a lot going on, so we all kind of run through these shows and, you know, give a little commentary to some of them. And hopefully, you know, we can get to the call lines, you know, by the time we run through the shows and we can get your thoughts on 2020 as it was. You know, with all this going on this year. So hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. All right, y'all, let's get it. I want to start from the top.
All right, all right. Well, I'll kick it off with our first show that we did for 2020. You know, we had some things going on with the country and America against Iran. You know, we had America took out an Iranian general, and people just, you know, thought the world was about to be World War III. So that was the title of our show: Are We on the Brink of World War III? Because people was definitely nervous when they slapped up Iran, when America slapped up Iran, and when Trump, you know, I got to say, Trump spearheaded that of slapping them around. You know, people thought it was going to be a big retaliation, big comeback. I said on that show then, I didn't think it was going to be much. I didn't think they was going to retaliate, and I didn't see nothing. I saw nothing. I saw Iran took it because they knew that if they did something, that Trump was crazy enough to take it all the way. So, no, we ain't had no World War III because they didn't want to smoke with Trump. How y'all feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, that seems so long ago. Like, with everything that's been happening in 2020, it almost seemed like that happened last year or a couple years ago. But, I remember that story. And, they just took it and kept it moving. So it wasn't, you know, that was a non-story after a few weeks.
Fact. Right, you want to say something about that one real quick, or you want me to keep pushing?
Yeah, you can keep going.
All right, our second show we did was entitled Should Something Be Done About Inmates Being Mistreated in Prisons and Jails. That was a couple of stories that broke out. I want to believe the one place was somewhere in Mississippi.
Parchment, Mississippi.
There you go. Yes, sir.
Parchment.
Were being mistreated. They were not, I think they were going on different hunger strikes. They wasn't, the facility was run down. The plumbing was bad. You know, videos were surfacing. The inmates were showing of how they was, walking around in sewers, paint peeling. I think in some cases, maybe they even had lead paint. Being exposed to lead paint. So we wanted to discuss, you know, what's happening in the prisons across the country. And that's something that I think we probably should revisit again, because a lot of things happen in these jails, in these prisons, that it's like another, it's like being in a third country. You just forgotten about when you get incarcerated.
Right.
You put there, and sure, if you can't rely on your family and friends to get the word out, that something going on with you, you just an afterthought. So, yeah, that was another big story at that time, which we know because of the big C word, COVID, they got smoothed over.
Right. Yes, sir. We can keep it pushing unless Roger got a comment.
Now let's keep it going.
Our third story we did was a heated conversation. Do black men cheat more than other races of men? I thought that was an interesting conversation. I ain't even going to go in on that. I think we pretty much agree that black men...
All men cheat.
Huh?
We all agree that it's not just about the race. guess it's just men. I mean, that's what men do.
Men. Men.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know.
Y'all agreed up.
I won't put up an argument. That's how we're going to roll with that. Okay. Okay. So, of course, we did our collective minds open discussion, and we followed that up with, what are your thoughts on Trump's acquittal and his State of the Union address?
Right. Yes, sir. I remember that.
Of course, he was untouchable. You know, peed everybody else. They couldn't do nothing with him. State of the Union address was superb. You know, came out and made all the racist white supremacists mad. The real racist white supremacists made them mad. That's why they wanted to get him up out of there. So, hey, it is what it is. But they didn't get him at that time. He ducked and died then.
Right.
Now, we followed up that show with, and this one is dear to my heart, we talked about the conversation was, what are your thoughts on the Netflix documentary, Who Killed Malcolm X? If y'all haven't seen that, you might want to check that out. It was a very interesting documentary. You know, I would say check it out and you form your own opinion. But the Nation of Islam has already put out a lot of information on the Malcolm X killing. It's up to you what you want to believe. And if the nation has something to do with it, or the government has something to do with it, hey, I personally was boycotting Netflix, but I did have to check that one out. I thought it was pretty good myself. I enjoyed it. It was a good documentary. A lot of good information was brought forth.
Yes, sir.
I thought that was
add on to that. Yeah. Go ahead, Roger.
No, I was just saying it was a good documentary.
Yeah, I thought it was a great documentary. Yeah, I learned a lot. I thought it was interesting that the brother who allegedly killed Malcolm X was, basically just living his life in New Jersey, and a lot of people knew about it, but, you know, didn't nobody really speak on it. And he was able to, basically live out his life and do his thing. And he was allegedly the man that killed Malcolm. But it shed a lot of light on things. And, you know, Malcolm X is dear to a lot of people. And I think that kind of, cleared up a lot of discrepancies, that people may have had surrounding his death and whatnot. So, that was an excellent, excellent documentary.
So behind that, you know, we became introduced to the COVID, coronavirus. So we brought it on the show. What are your thoughts on coronavirus? Anybody want to say anything about that? Because we did a several, but can y'all remember when we first chimed in on the coronavirus? Were you worried? Was you concerned? Yeah. Was you confused?
Go ahead, Roger.
Well, I was just going to say, I take the same stance now. You know, I know I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, so, yeah, there's a great deal of me that feels like, I don't know about all of this, what they're saying about the coronavirus, but then there's another part of me that's like, okay, regardless of that side, just take precaution. And just be safe, and so that's how I felt then, and this is how I feel now about it in regards to it.
But when that first kicked off, though, is it safe to say, though, like, were y'all really worried? Did any one of y'all think that this virus was going to kill us all off? Did y'all think it was, like, the end of civilization?
Well,
when the story first broke, or what happened?
Go ahead, Brother Kev.
Right. Nah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, personally, it's like, I mean, you have, when you're introduced, in most cases, I can't speak for everybody, but when you're introduced to things that you are unsure of and you're not familiar with, there's going to be a lot of different thoughts and stuff that come across your mind, you know. So the possibility is there. So it probably was a common thought for a lot of people, you know, but it doesn't mean that it's that's the dominant feeling that you control by. But it's just, I'm sure thoughts like that came up, and I think that's a very common thing to think that, hey, this is a possibility that this could be something that's going to wipe us out, because no one knew what it was, and a lot of people still don't know what it is, you know. So I think that that's just a very common reaction to have.
Yeah, I know, right, when it first came out, me and myself, I just knew. I was like, man, they been finally they done played with so much foolishness that humans done finally did it this time. You done finally came up with something. That's what, my first thoughts, I was like, y'all done it this time. You done finally created something, made a mistake, and then messed up where you about to kill us all off, or kill off quite a few people. That was my thoughts in the very early stages. But, like you say, time went on, and we got a chance to get more information and discern it for ourselves. Of course, our outlooks changed slightly, a little bit for here and there. But, you want to add something else to that, Brother Kev, before we go on?
Yeah, just real quick.
What were you thinking in the very beginning?
Just for me in the beginning, I was very skeptical about the information that was being reported. I never went so far as to thinking this was the plague of all plagues. I was just kind of looking like, man, okay, they're saying this amount of people, got it, this amount of people died. It's not adding up for them to be shutting down the whole world, in my opinion. So I was very skeptical from the beginning, as I am now. I think it is a virus that, people are getting it, people are getting sick, people are dying and whatnot. But I think there's some more information out there that's not being provided to the public. So I just say that, So, we can keep it moving. Right. And an agenda behind it. I talk about that a lot. I think there's an agenda attached to this virus as well. And the virus is the perfect alibi to bring forth whatever agenda that they're trying to push, as we move forward. So that's just kind of where my head was at with it.
Okay. So we took, after we got introduced to the coronavirus, we tried to go back and just talk about some normal things that was going on in the world. We talked about an inmate, a man by the name of Nathaniel Woods. And was Nathaniel Woods wrongly convicted? He was an inmate in the state of Alabama that was sentenced to be executed, which they did. He did get executed.
Yeah.
He was charged with capital murder and accused of being an accomplice to another person who was convicted of shooting and killing three Birmingham, Alabama police officers in 2004. But people said, the evidence was possibly tampered with. So a lot of people felt like basically he shouldn't have been convicted. It went down. I mean, you wanted to touch on that, Brother Chris?
I was just trying to remember the story. I think it was the one where I think he was over somebody's house and whatnot, and the police had a warrant or whatnot, kicked in the door. And I think he may have ran out the back of something, but the person he was staying with was the actual shooter of the police.
Exactly.
And he didn't actually shoot the police, but he ended up getting charged and executed before the person that actually shot the police. So that was one of them cases, where you scratch your head like, damn, how did the gunman outlive the person that was just in the house, quote unquote, allegedly or whatnot. So, that was a pretty interesting case down there in Alabama.
I even believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think even the shooter spoke on his behalf and said he didn't have nothing to do with it. If I'm not mistaken,
that was I believe so
quite
too.
A while ago.
Right. I believe so too. Yeah. So that was interesting, man. That was very interesting.
And that was in 2020.
Quick,
pay attention to that.
Right.
Repeat that.
Was 2020.
Right, I couldn't hear you.
I said, and that was in 2020, so pay attention to that. They still doing the same thing that they've been doing in 2020.
Fact.
Yep, so after we discussed that, we had bounced right back into the coronavirus pandemic. Our next show was, what are your thoughts on the response to the coronavirus pandemic? Because people was bashing the administration, Trump administration, that they weren't doing enough. They weren't doing enough to, but we dealing with something that the world hasn't seen before. I still feel like, what you expect? Like, I think he did do enough. He built hospitals and gave aid to New York, one of the places that was getting hit the hardest. Whole hospital built that they didn't even use. Like, people don't trip off. That was millions, and I'm going to probably say billions of dollars thrown into this thing. And I still don't see it, the ends didn't justify, the means didn't justify the ends. Like I say, these hospitals was built, they didn't get used fully. We had a morgue built in St. Louis that hit us for like $2 or $3 million. It ended up only seeing 50 people. So Trump went on ahead, that administration went on ahead and gave aid, even though at that time Trump really wasn't feeling it neither. He was like, man, he was saying so many words, it's a load of crap. But he still went on ahead and provided help and aid to these states who said they needed it. Ventilators upon ventilators. And we, amongst ourselves, we was like, shoot, you get on a ventilator, you basically killing yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I felt like 80%. At that time, the response was all right. But you got to remember, that was just at the federal level. The state still can act and do, you know, what they want to do.
Right, right. Exactly. The state and federal is different. Yeah, the response was, they turned it into a political issue and was going at Trump and making it seem like he was responsible for the 200,000 deaths, which that will come later on in the year. I think with Trump, Trump was trying his best to just keep the economy open. And I think that probably would have been the smart thing to do, as far as, okay, if you are high risk, if you have pre-existing health conditions, you can quarantine, you can stay home. If you feel like you're sick, this is a medical emergency, just stay home for 14 days or whatnot. And I think we could have kind of prevailed and worked through with the economy. But once the economy shut down, it was a done deal. Once that stock market crashed, and I think that was, like I said, around March sometime, once that happened, it was a wrap. The damage was already done. So at that point, you can keep it shut down for a minute until you really get a hold of it once it was shut down. But I think Trump was trying to do as best he could to keep things open. But like he said, he banned flights from China and whatnot and did little restrictions like that. But, of course, that wasn't enough for what the people in the media was pushing. They were saying that, quote, unquote, he could have did more, it is what it is. We are here now, and they used that. And it actually came back to Biden because they ended up using his response to the COVID. That could be one of the reasons why, quote, unquote, he lost the election. You know what I'm saying? Because that was one of their big talking points. Every time they talked about it was, look at what you did with look at your response to the corona. Look how many people died, blah, blah, blah. So they actually used that to try to get him about the White House. Yeah.
Yeah, that campaign brainwashed people, and listen, everybody, that's what it's designed to do. That's what marketing and television and all those things, commercials, that's what it's actually designed to do. So don't talk crazy saying, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. That's what it's actually designed to do, marketing and the commercials. So they actually have a campaign to persuade, which is what commercials are designed to do, to for you to buy in into a certain thing, and that thing is Trump killed all these people. So ordinary, everybody is going to be like, almost like the SpongeBob characters. You know, everybody's going to be walking with a pitchfork at Trump because they didn't just told you he done killed all these people. You know, so, but that's what it's to do. No? That's exactly what it's
doing.
And there's, also, real quick, I throw in there, this was also when we was heavily looking for toilet paper around that time, too, I think.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Exactly. The toilet paper shortage.
The news name
of 2020.
That's a whole conspiracy in itself right there.
Exactly.
Man.
If you want to help, that's Trump, what he could have done that really helped is to provide the tissue and the Lysol. He would have been a hero.
Right.
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 Yeah,
but
some type of way, I really don't remember what was going on in our minds at the time. It could have been the corona thing, but we followed up that show with, do you think population control is necessary? I'm sure
that
spanned off of coronavirus.
Yeah, it did.
Do y'all remember what y'all stance was on that? Did y'all think it was necessary?
Now, you know, Brother Kevin and I have been having this debate amongst us for a while, even before the
pandemic. Right, right.
And you
right,
know my
right,
saying,
so.
Go ahead, Brother Kevin.
Nah, go ahead. I'm waiting till you get done. Go ahead.
Who think it's necessary? We ain't going to stay on it too long. Just make it plain.
Right.
I'm done.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'll make it real plain. I don't think it's necessary. I just think that nature and the natural way of things take care of itself. The things that need to go will go. Things that need to be born will be born. I just think without human intervention, nature will take care of what needs to go and what needs to go. So that means people, animals, plants, whatever it needs to do to get back right, you know, the earth will naturally do that over time. So, no, I don't think it's necessary, population control. So
okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say really quick, I do think that it's necessary, and just about what you said shows that it's necessary. And necessary means it doesn't mean anything other than the fact that it happens, whether it's not done naturally like you just said. And really that's what it is, because technically, we are part of the earth anyway. We're all a one.
Right.
It's not, we can't really separate ourselves like that. That's actually really one of the problems of humanity. We do this separation and this division, and we don't look at ourselves as one. That's why it's so easy to sit out here and let people starve to death, because you have a detachment.
Right.
You detach yourself from the earth, which we all are. You know, so we have a responsibility as part of the atmosphere as well. We have to be conscious thinkers, conscious breeders when we have children. We have to be responsible. Right now we're not acting responsibly, so it's turning against us. So from that standpoint, population control is necessary, even just by what Brother Kevin said. He even argued the point great. Even if it's just by nature, it's going to happen regardless. But since we are a part of
right.
nature, we're also included the outcome in the way that things happen on this earth as well. And we do have a responsibility, and we should be more conscious of what we do and how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I'm trying to find the name of this movie that I had watched last night, which was about population control. I'll find it. I'll bring it up later on. But it was actually a good movie that I watched last night. Man, where is that at? Let me see if this is it right quick.
All
right. No, I find it. But so anyway, after that, we had a great show. We had a special guest. Guy that I'm always checking out his videos. His name is Pharaoh. And this is not the young Pharaoh. It's the OG Pharaoh. His YouTube channel is called Pharaoh Speaks. This is OG out of Chicago. Always tell it like it is. You know what I'm saying? I love that brother. He's a good brother. He was came on and gave us his opinion what the coronavirus was all about. Actually, the name of the show was What is the Truth About the Coronavirus? And if I'm remembering correctly, he was telling us that, of course, that how it started out in China, and it was a weapon. If I'm mistaken, it was a weapon that was stolen by some Chinese people, and they mistakenly let it get out. They accidentally let it get out. So that's one you have to go back and check that out so you can hear it. He broke it down way better than I can. So, yeah, that was called What is the Truth About the Coronavirus with Pharaoh. Good dude.
Yeah.
We followed that up with a show entitled How Can the Federal Government Assist the Black Community in Dealing with the Pandemic? We was looking for questions dealing specifically with us. You know, what could the government do for us? And then we followed that up with the country reopen businesses despite the coronavirus pandemic. Would y'all want to touch on any one of those three?
We can keep it moving. I was just going to say just real quick with the government thing when we was asking about what can the government do to fight the coronavirus. Because early on, it seems like they was trying to. Yeah, it should assist black people. I'm sorry. Because early on, it looked like they were trying to make black people the face of the coronavirus. You know, it started out as attacking these European countries, you know, Italy and Europe and all these places. And then when it got to the States, they immediately put a black face, you know, on the coronavirus, saying that, because of your lifestyle, that you're more susceptible and you have high rates of diabetes, heart disease, and those things contribute to, you know, to fatal conditions if you get the corona and whatnot. So they were making a strong push to make black people the face. So that's why I kind of remember us kind of having that show about what can the federal government do, you know, to help the black community with that. But that's all I wanted to put out on that one.
All right. If y'all interested, that movie I was talking about, it's called The Midnight Sky. Good movie. I enjoyed it. I watched it last night. It was basically about some people had went up into space, and while they was in outer space, the world came under, like, you know, some type of attack. I don't know if it was like climate change, what, but the earth became unstable. And so it got down to where it was like one man left on earth, and he was trying to communicate to the space station that, hey, don't even come back here. The planet that y'all went to explore, that's your best bet. Try to go back to that planet and start life over, because ain't nothing popping down here. Good movie. Check it out. A Midnight Sky.
Right.
Moving on.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. We did a show. Oh, man. What are your thoughts on the Ahmaud Arbery case? Woo, boy, we had some discussions and arguments about that. Come on,
man,
right.
Oh,
you want to tell the world what the Arbery case was about? Brother Kev, one of y'all, refresh the
Wait,
listeners about
skip,
the Ahmaud
Did you skip
Arbery
one?
Case.
Did you skip one on purpose or what?
No, should the country reopen businesses despite the coronavirus pandemic? Then we had an open discussion. And then what are your thoughts on the Ahmaud Arbery case? I don't believe I missed one.
Yeah, on the third we had, if presidential election was held today, who would you vote for?
I don't see that on my thing.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah,
I missed that, but I don't see
it on
her.
Okay. All right. Well, we can go on to the other one anyway. If the presidential election was held today, who would you vote for?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Donald Trump, still.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
So y'all wanna be? Yeah, nobody. So,
nobody.
Okay, you want to refresh us on that Ahmaud Arbery case?
Yeah, the Ahmaud Arbery situation was the brother was down in Georgia, you know, supposedly jogging through the neighborhood, and he was approached by a white male and his father, the father and son combo. You know, they kind of approached him to see what he was doing and whatnot. And long story short, they ended up shooting the brother and killing him. You know, there's a little grainy video that show, you know, a little altercation. One of the other people, I guess, they're from the neighborhood, actually filmed the video and, you know, ended up being the one to capture the video. And they shot the brother, killed him. And they ended up, this happened in, I think January, February, it happened early in the year. And they didn't end up getting arrested till like 2 or 3 months later. So it was a big uproar about that. You know, they had some information, like they do with all these shootings. They have a lot of information at the beginning, but for some reason they just release little bits and pieces to the public as they go on. So with this case, they had that video for a long time, and that didn't come out, like I say, until late on. Once he got convicted, boom. And then they had video of the brother going into, I think it was like construction sites or building the homes that was being worked on. He was going in there getting some water. So that was one of the things that they tried to use, saying, well, he was breaking into these, you know, construction sites and getting water and blah, blah, blah. So they was really trying to justify murdering this dude. And then they released some other videos of him being accosted by the police, and he was hanging out with kids. It was just real weird how this whole thing was going along. And I, like I said, I was trying myself not to get too emotionally invested. Of course, what they did was wrong, but it's like, I just don't have the energy. Like, we know what these people are capable of. We know what they've been doing for the longest. And how many times are we just going to be chasing ambulances and, you know, calling Crump? You know, shout out to Crump. He was on the show before. But how long are we going to continue to play this game? We get emotional. We get riled up. And then nothing happens. We just wait for the next killing or shooting to happen. Like, I'm getting tired of it myself. So I kind of see a pattern. And, you know, I really, it's like, now what? What are we going to do, you know, to resolve these? But I think those people, they still locked up. The people that shot him, I believe they're still locked up. They're awaiting trial and whatnot. So we'll see how that plays out, you know, as we go into 2020.
Right.
You know,
and I'm not going to re-rip the Band-Aid off of that. I'll just touch a little bit and say that, you know, my thing was with that case is I'm tired of looking for justice from an open enemy. So I always use opportunities like that to speak to my people about ways you can move better defensively to try to keep yourself out of a predicament like that. Cause I'm not looking for justice from, you know, the other side. So I'm trying to just duck and dodge these traps. So but yeah, y'all definitely check that out. Go back and revisit that one. The next show we did was entitled "How Do We Address Mental Illness in Our Community?" We had a loss to the family, specifically dealing with mental illness, and so this show came kind of you know, it was something that was on our minds, but with the tragedy that happened, we decided to go ahead and do a show about mental illness. That's a soft spot in Roger's heart. He's still planning if I'm not mistaken, a benefit, correct, Roger?
to fundraiser for mental illness. So if you want to talk about that show a little bit and tell us about your fundraiser.
Yeah, well, like Mufasa said, I am planning on doing a fundraiser to raise awareness about mental health. I think it's important. I think it's important for the community and just as a whole. You know, I think it's something to be aware of. I think a lot of times we don't be aware of a lot of things if we can't see them. And just because we can't see something, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I think we need to pay even more attention to those things as well. But I was planning it actually before the pandemic. But when this happened, the shutdown, of course, I had to postpone it. But, you know, I am planning to do it. I think it's going to be a great thing, fun event. With the time now that I have, I may kind of just give me an opportunity to maybe incorporate some other creative ideas to also help the event. But for now, you know, I'm just waiting on the right opportunity when things kind of change up with the corona and everything and things open back up and I can do something successful about this topic here because I think it is necessary.
Yeah, when we did that show, we had a couple of some people who work in that business who came on and talked with us. So that was a good show topic. The opportunity, like I say, go back and check that one out also.
I was just going to give them the name. The organization is called Empower Me.
Okay. Oh, yes. So we followed that up with another open discussion, and then we discussed what really happened in the George Floyd murder. Another black man who was, you know, murdered by the police.
There we go. Yeah, this one was big. This one was big, too. This one, you know, they blew up, went all over the world. And this, what was very interesting about this particular shooting is because this was on the heels of the coronavirus. So remember, the country was shut down. But soon as George Floyd got killed, people said, forget social distancing. We just finna all flood the streets. And it was people everywhere in every major city flooding the streets, no mask, contact. Everything was going on. And so, you know, that was the thing that kind of made particular shooting interesting, not to mention all the other conspiracy things that came with it. Again, I'm looking at a lot of these shootings as psychological operation, basically psyops, not saying that they didn't happen, but I think the agenda behind these shootings are what's important and what we need to pay attention to. Like I say, this one was big. It went all over the world. He got a lot of donations, got a lot of things going on. Black Lives Matter raised a lot of money. And, you know, they was being exposed as well. We got to see a lot of what's going on behind the scenes with these demonstrations and how they've been infiltrated. You know, a lot of these protests was being infiltrated. We had Antifa out there. You had different white supremacist groups, Proud Boys, Boogaloo Boys, all these different groups were in the midst of protesting in the name of, quote-unquote, George Floyd. And then you had all these clashes. People was getting killed. People was getting shot. So it's just the beginning of what some may say, you know, possibly a civil war or whatnot. But we definitely are seeing, like, you know, where this could be headed. If some more shootings, that they get some more people riled up and they get people in the streets, how things can go. So, but yeah, that George Floyd killing was very interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it
and
alone.
I ain't trying to rip
that Band-Aid off neither.
Once again, real quick, they had the entire video from the beginning, but for some reason they released bits and pieces And then some months later, they want to release the whole video. They got different angles they want to release. And like the brother say, just really to open up the wound. They really just trying to traumatize people and get people back into that fear bag by slowly releasing all these information and these videos when they got all this information at the beginning that they could just put it out there. But they wait, you know, wait a few months, let the sore heal, then rip the Band-Aid off again. Like, oh, we found this. We found George Floyd doing this. We found this video, this angle, this. So it's like it's a psychological operation. They trying to get people in that fear bag and, you know, promote a different agenda. And I do want to note that a lot of these shootings happen in Democratic cities. I'm going to just put that out there. I'm not saying, of course, I'm not Republican or Democrat. I'm just putting it out there. When these shootings go down, they happen in Democratic City, and none of these race soldiers are held accountable. So just marinate on that for a minute. You feel me?
Marinate on it.
Marinate
on it.
I agree.
Yeah. So the big thing after these cases happened with Ahmaud and especially with George Floyd, we had the big talk going around, and that was our next show. Should we reform, defund, or demolish the police?
Right. Yes, sir. And
so I think
yeah,
for the most part, we had little differences of opinion on that, slight differences.
Yeah.
I still feel the same way. You can't fully get rid of the police. As long as you got something else to go in its place, something structured, hey, but, you know, to totally defund and just get rid of it without having nothing else in place, I don't think that doesn't work.
Right. And that's one of the conversations that's actually still going on now. And in the Zoom call that we talked about earlier that Biden had with the civil rights leader, they kind of talked about that. And Biden was like, no, we are not defunding the police. Because the word is, when you talk about defunding the police, that kind of scares middle-class white America. And they're not having that. Like, the police is the only thing that, you know, that saves them and protects them. Like, that's the first line of defense for white supremacy, you know, in my opinion. But that's one of the things that protects them. So they're not going to be with defunding the police. But that conversation is still happening. And Biden did address that as far as he's not with defunding the police at all. So
yeah, he said some slick stuff. Like, he said basically, you know, getting more mental help, you know, when it comes to police officers and getting social workers to, you know, help out. Okay, that's all cool, but hey, I just don't trust Joe. I ain't messing with Joe. So everything he said in that phone call just rubbed me the wrong way. But
right.
Cool.
Yes,
after we talked about that, our next show was what do black people want in light of the protest against injustice? You know, what do we want to come out of it? We're doing all this uproar,
right,
out in the streets, marching, in some cases looting, rioting. I mean, what do you want in return? We discussed that.
Right.
And then we had to do a part two to that show as well. So that we had a one and a part two. So that must have been some good convo on them two. I'm going to have to go back and revisit them myself.
Yes, indeed.
Do y'all want to say anything about those two real quick, or I'll keep it pushing?
I'm good. Keep it moving. Let's ride it. Yes,
All right, so then we discuss, what about black-on-black crime?
That's
paying rug for the Kev the wrong way.
Yeah,
not like
man.
Black-on-black crime.
Yeah, this is...
That.
Yeah,
and then
we followed that up
with, can black people be racist? Another strong topic that my brother Kev got, you know, some strong feelings about. So them two shows we had some good dialogue about, what about black on black crime and can black people be racist? Yeah,
yes,
that was a good one.
That was some good ones. We can keep it moving. That was good.
Yeah, we had a discussion. Nick Cannon had got himself in some hot water.
Woo-wee.
So we did a show about what do you think about Nick Cannon apologizing for comments he made on his podcast. And basically, he had Professor Griff on his podcast, and they were discussing some things about, you know, black people being the real Jews.
Right.
And that rubbed, of course, there were some other things that were said, and that rubbed Jewish people the wrong, Jewish people the wrong way, to the point where his show was pulled, his show Wildin' Out, and his kind of show Wildin' Out was pulled, and he had to make a public apology about his comments, and he on his YouTube channel, he did a special show with a Jewish rabbi. Where, in my opinion, right, the Jewish rabbi was sonning him. So,
mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? About that show, Brother Kev? You want to enlighten the people on it?
Well, oh, let's move on. Yeah, let's move on.
Okay. All right. So the next show we did was should schools reopen this fall? If so, will your kids attend? Now, a lot of people didn't know, like, hey, with this COVID stuff going on, do you really want to send your kid to school? You know, school,
right.
I don't even think right now, school still ain't fully reopened. I think it's still a lot of virtual stuff going on. Some schools may be open. I think it's different from state to state, city to city.
Yeah,
I think some schools are back at school.
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, some schools haven't even closed down and still have school buses. Depending on how deep in there you get, I know I did a we had a photo shoot. We was pretty far out in a rural area recently. Actually, it was very recent, and their children was coming home from school on the school bus, and the schools were open. They had never closed down.
They
were
coming home from school.
Coming home from school.
Inside joke.
Not their kids, but the children in that neighborhood, they had school buses. They had the school had never closed, and this was just like. Maybe a month or two ago.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
And rural areas, they haven't closed down in a lot of them.
So cool.
Just a high population area.
We're getting close to the end here, so if, you know, we got callers on. If y'all got want to chime in and give us some input on these past shows we did, just hang in there, stay tuned. You know, we try to get you in at the end, at least we could tell you Happy New Year or something like that, so just stick around with
that's
the family.
That's right. That's right.
So we followed that show up with how do you feel about federal agents going to urban cities to fight crime? You know, this came up about because of all the shootings that was taking place in places like Chicago, even here in St. Louis, Kansas City, it seems like a lot of the urban cities across the country had a lot of crime, you know, a lot of shootings that was taking place, especially in Chicago.
Right.
So President Trump was initiating, I think it's called Operation Legend, and that was based off of a young black kid who was killed. I wish I could remember the city he was killed in. It might have been Chicago.
That was
also
in Kansas City. No, I think it was Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City. Yep, you're right. Sure right, bro.
Yep.
A young man was killed senselessly in Kansas City, and so they did this Operation Legend to combat the crime as best they can to go in and hit these cities up and try to get some of these hardcore criminals off the street. And I think I have mixed feelings on it. I know in some places, you know, they did get people off the streets, whether it did enough or not, I probably don't think it's done enough. But I do know that they were successful in getting quite a few criminals off the streets. So I give it at least that credit. I give them some credit for trying, but there's still so many things that need to be done to go along with that. So, yeah, that's where we was at on that show, y'all. Basically, like I said, about Operation Legend, how we can fight, and you know how you felt about the federal agents going into these cities to fight the crime. We followed that up with, what do you think about Joe Biden picking Kamala Harris as his running mate? Foolishness.
Boo.
We know why he picked her. He picked her because they sold off to us as being black. Black people bit into a hook, line, and sinker. He was the vice president for Barack Obama, who was also said, given the title of black president also. So, you know, that's a big scam. And it worked. Because they got black people to come on out and vote. And, you know, get their boy in there. So I still feel the same way. I think it was stupid. But it worked.
Right.
So congratulations to Joe and Kamala. It worked. The next show we did was, what are your thoughts on the virtual Democratic convention? Because of COVID, they're still doing all this stuff virtual. And that was crazy, too.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Because it was, the funniest thing was hearing Bill Clinton, he trying to go in on Trump and talk about the integrity of the White House. But this is the same cat that was getting oral and fellatio in the White House. So it's like, bruh, what are you talking about? Like, relax, Bill. We know you'll get down, but you don't have the right, you know, or the room to be talking about integrity in the White House. You know what I'm saying? So that was interesting. You know, they brought out the young guy, Billy Porter. This man has a lot of issues going on with him. They had him out there singing in the dress and doing all this stuff. So it was really sad to see them pull out these stops and put on this show. It was pretty bad. It was so much pandering going on. And, I didn't like it.
Yeah, so we did another open discussion. And then we had a show entitled, Who is the Lesser of Two Evils? Biden Harris, Trump Pence. And, of course, I'm going to still stick with Trump Pence was the lesser of two evils because of things I already said on her. And Brother Kev brought up also how Kamala would just look you in your face. And I'm talking about black people and straight up lie to you. You know what I'm saying? Look you dead in your face and lie to you. I don't care what nobody say. She ain't black. Y'all can argue with me up and down about that. The woman ain't black. I'm entrenched in it. She ain't black. So, and you're going to find out. You're going to find out. Let me back up a little bit. Biden had the crime bill. Helped to orchestrate the crime bill. Threw thousands of innocent black people in prison. Kamala Harris is a prosecutor. Locked away hundreds of innocent black people.
Yeah, cop Mala.
They spoke out about it. Now, who did Trump or Pence mass incarcerate black people to that degree? No. So I still stand behind that. Trump and Pence is the lesser of the two evils. Yeah, he may rub people the wrong way with his cockiness, and he say, you know, what he want to say. But as far as being evil, no, Biden and Harris is the evil one. You know, that's why I'm able to tell. Y'all want to chime in on that one?
Now, just real quick, one thing. This was a show that we got accused of being, Collective Minds got accused of being Trump supporters by a few of the listeners. So I specifically remember that particular show. They was like, man, if I didn't know y'all, I think all y'all was Trump supporters. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Also, too, let me say this real quick. Breaking news. Breaking news. It looked like Trump just signed that COVID release bill.
Mm-hmm. They must have took that foreign stuff up out of there.
And then, you know what?
Oh,
man,
I'm going to
say it real quick.
He signed it just as it was.
You know, I have to say this real quick. And I don't want to go in too far, and I can wait till we get done. But on one hand, you know, Trump was like, he got all this foreign aid stuff rolled up in here. He was the president that said America's first. So people, like, didn't want to hear that. You want $600 so bad, but you ain't thinking about the money that's loading there to go to all these other foreign countries. You know, and so when Trump like, no, take that out, and I'm going to try to get you more, but because the people are so hungry and want the relief now, they're like, forget that. You know, they was bashing Trump about that, like, you holding this up, you holding up getting some type of relief. You know, we ain't going to get nothing. In a few months, government workers ain't going to be out of work. But nobody's looking at the Democrats' end, and why did they put that foreign crap in there? It's like they know, they like, here it is. We're gonna give you what you want, but we're going to slide this stuff in with it. Like, man, people ain't tripping off of that. They so busy tripping off Trump and applying the pressure to him to go ahead and sign it. They don't even care about what it's loaded with. It could have been stuff in there that say mandatory vaccine. They don't care. All I know is they want their check now. They give us some money now. But I don't know. There's so much I want to say on it. I probably confused everything with what I just said. But
because
I don't
want to
get too far off track.
Long. You know, that bill was over 5,000 pages long. And they actually, the Senate and the House passed it and within the same day, like within 5 hours, and nobody read all 5,000 of those pages. So you're right, anything could still be in there.
Yeah.
You know,
Trump said, you know what?
Later.
Y'all want it? Here it is. Let me give y'all what y'all want. Because he was catching
heat
over
it. Now.
Man came on. Yep.
He signed it just as it was. They didn't have time to make any changes because they would have had to vote. Even for the amendment, if he had switched it up a little bit, even for the 2000, they still would have had to vote on it, the House and Senate still would have had to vote.
Yeah.
Do that. So
they just
signed it as it was, what they already passed.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah, that's the sneak stuff they do. They come up with something late in the game, loaded with crap that's no good for the country. And like, here you go, last minute. Now you know you need to go and sign it. So hey, if you ain't got time to change it, if you do, well, now government workers gonna be, the government gonna shut down. Like, man, they slick. They are slick. But anyway, we can come back. Maybe we can talk about that next week.
Yeah, maybe we'll hit that up next week, because I got a list of some of the. Yeah, it's a list out there with some of the funding and where the things go. So, yeah, maybe we can hit that up next week or something.
So, after we talked about Trump and Biden and the lesser two evils, we went into what are some new and upcoming investment options. We discussed cryptocurrency, et cetera, stock options. So, trying to get your money up. Check that out.
That's right.
After that, we went into who has more influence over our youth, the government, or the government, society, or the parents. We had good dialogue with that, mixed opinions on that one. I think most people were with the society, but I could be wrong. Had to revisit that also. We had a collective minds open discussion. Then we went into, what did you think about the first presidential debate? The second show after that was, what did you think about the vice presidential debate? Both of those debates, I believe Trump, he did get a little upset, but he mopped the floor with Joe. And the same is in the presidential, the vice presidential debate. I think Pence did a great job dealing with Kamala. Kamala was exposed as, every time she laughs, she do this chuckle, this just giggle and just grin. Every time the woman is grinning and laughing, I'm telling you, she's lying. She's lying.
Lying
through her little teeth. Lying through her wannabe African-American teeth. So I thought those were good debates, you know, for Trump and for Pence. See, after we did that one, we discussed what are your thoughts on the town hall meetings for Trump and Joe Biden. So this is around election time, so we were getting into discussions about the election. You know, we had all the debates going on. After we talked about that town hall meeting, we had a open discussion. Then we had a 2020 election final roundtable. Of course, in that show and along with others, you know, I was pulling for Trump thinking he was going to pull it out at the end because of all the corruption. He didn't pull it out. You know, he's still fighting. He's still trying. But with all the crookedness, you know, they let Sleepy Joe get on up in there. So then we did our show about what are your thoughts on the presidential election results. As y'all heard me say, you know, I didn't like the results. So, yeah, that's what we had on that whole presidential thing. You know, my boy about that. So after that, we went into a discussion about why is hip-hop such a violent musical genre?
Yes, sir.
We all agree that it is. It is what it is. Rap is full of violence. It needs to be changed. That's kind of sound like Trump there. It needs to be changed. Something needs to be done.
right.
After that, we discussed what's more important. This was a show that I loved. I enjoyed it. What's more important in the relationship? Breakup. The how or the why that you're breaking up. And I think we need to do that show again very soon. And I said it on that show at the end. I'm saying it again now. We definitely do that show again with a counselor to help heal some of these wounded people out here who only are concerned with how they breaking up and don't care nothing about the why they breaking up. I think that's so heartless to just break up and only you worry about how we're going to do it. You don't even... No concern in why you're breaking up. I think some underlying issues there that some of us on this show need to deal with. And I want to help that person get the help that person needs to deal with those underlying issues.
Buddy.
I'll leave that there unless someone wants to say anything about that.
Keep it moving.
We had another open discussion. Then we went into the COVID-19 vaccine was recently announced. Are you in line to receive yours? Heck, you know I'm not. I ain't in line. But some people are. When people get it, it's people out here getting it. After we discussed that, our next show was who plays the biggest role in creating behavioral habits? The black society. I don't remember exactly what all we went in on that show.
That was the men or the women, remember? Was it the men
or
the women?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I do remember that. I was saying that the women had the biggest role to play. Yep. Why does the U.S. want to prioritize black people to receive the vaccine? So we had some opinions on that. Is the vaccine geared specifically to black people? Which leads us up to today, our 2020 wrap up. You know, we just went over all our shows. Hopefully I didn't miss none that we did in 2020. One thing I say about our shows in 2020, I would have liked to see us get some more guests on. And maybe moving forward, we can focus on that some more. You know, 2020 was a rough year with COVID. this COVID stuff that's going on, but I would like to still get some more guests involved, get more interaction with our callers also. So, yeah, y'all. What y'all got to
yes,
say?
Indeed.
What y'all feeling, man?
Feeling good, feeling great, man. Like I say, 2020 has been interesting. It's been, like I say, an unprecedented year, but actually this has been one of the, you know, biggest blessings for me and my fam, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm very optimistic about the future. I think with even with Kamala, with Cop Mala and Sleepy Joe getting in office, they're going to try to do some things to undermine black people. I do believe that. But I think overall, we're going to peep game and see what's going on. And, you know, I'm optimistic about the future. So I just say that, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it's been a great year, you know?
Mm-hmm. We got time. I
want
to get a call or two in before we have to sign out.
Yeah, we
okay,
can do that.
Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
Man. Hey. That Zoom call, did you see all those coons and coontresses and sambos on there with that racist? Actually, they had two racists on there, him and Al Sharpton. They are coons. A coontress is a female coon.
Tell it.
I mean, yeah.
And sambos.
Why do you
think
they didn't challenge Biden on what he was saying? Nobody challenged him on what he was saying.
Because they can't. Biden ain't going to do that. I'm going to tell you something else. Biden ain't going to be president because the big action is going to occur here the first week when the Congress is going to vote on the president because you're going to have, now hopefully, this ain't about Trump. This is about the United States Constitution. This is what this is about. No matter who was president, what have went on in this election with these votes and these ballots and Pennsylvania circumventing this constitutional law and doing what it done. And those things, and see, here's the thing, blacks should be hooping and hollering because they have been denied their vote. Blacks that voted for Trump. They supposed to be hooping and hollering. They was oppressed by the actions of those states that was the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, which was put forth by Texas and many other states, including Missouri. Missouri joined in. So it's going to be 50 votes. You're going to have 50 votes from the House. That's going to each state's going to have one representation in the House and the Senate. And you got more red states than you do blue states. The Electoral College is not going to be a issue. It's going to be based on the fact, based on the fact of the crap that went on with these stealing, cheating, and all that bull stuff.
Right, yeah.
People don't know the Constitution. Read the Constitution and learn it. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, you might have some other people on a call.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you calling.
Sure.
Appreciate you. Yes, indeed. All right,
sure.
There it is. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So the fight is really not over. Like, they are declaring that Biden won. The media is doing all that. But it's still not over. We got a few more things coming up beginning of January. I think the inauguration is the 22nd or 23rd, something like that. So we gonna see how things play out until then. I wouldn't be surprised either way it go. That's why I'm kind of staying away from predictions, and I'm gonna just let the thing play out. You feel me? I'm gonna just get my popcorn and watch it play out. So
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how it go. We're going to see how it go. But Biden is, man, oh, man. Him and Sleepy Joe and Cop Mala. They about to show you what it's like. They about to show you better, nigga, than I can tell you. So, you know, I don't want to be the one to say I told you so, but I will say it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want to, you think we got time for one more call?
This has to be the last one.
Okay.
Area code 609-310. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio? You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. Yeah, I had a lot of great topics this year. I really enjoyed it. And
yes,
I think one of the biggest things is we're going to always have racism if, as black people, no matter if you're African American, you're from Haiti, you're from Jamaica,
right, right.
We're all black.
Right.
If we get that understanding, we'll be united. We stand. I'm telling you, we'll be a strong race. But until
right.
we all get on one accord and think alike, we're going to always have racism. We're going to always be downplayed because we downplay ourselves. And as far as black-on-black crimes, as parents, as communities, we got to get more involved with these kids because
right now
we're not involved enough as parents, as communities, and that's why these kids out here running rapid. I'm sorry to say, but when I was young, we got our butt whipped when we got out of line. These kids don't get no whoopings. They can be disrespectful. Maybe they need to go
right.
back to that. Allowing these parents to be parents, and if they get out of line, whoop their butt. I ain't saying kill them. I'm
right.
saying give them a butt whooping. I had plenty of them, and I turned out all right. I'm just saying.
Right.
And it's sad,
yes,
but you can't even whoop your kids now, or you beat or Dicers or whoever they – I don't know what they call them in St. Louis, but they call them Dicers in Jersey and up this way. And you can't even raise your kid – without them stepping in. That's sad. It's so sad to me.
Mm-hmm.
Things
mm-hmm.
got to change.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You know, and with this election stuff, I'm going to do like you, like fam, I'm going to do like you said. I'm going to get my popcorn and let it play out. I got my popcorn already.
Exactly.
I got that karma, too. I'm waiting.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
That karma, that karma.
But I love y'all, show, and I'm gonna keep tuning in as long as y'all tuning in.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Happy
we appreciate you, fam. Yep, Happy New Year's. We appreciate you.
Same to you, Peach.
Yes, indeed. Love you. All right. So, yeah, fam, that's where we at. But, yeah, we appreciate the fam, the alumni that have been rocking with us, you know, all year and beyond. So, yeah, we definitely appreciate y'all. This is Collective Minds. You got a voice here. You can share your thoughts. And, you know, we might disagree, we might agree, but we just all sharing our opinions. And at the end of the day, you know, I think we all looking for better solutions, you know, to be better people and to live in a better world. Like, that's all we want. So these type of shows and these dialogues help us move forward from week to week, month to month, year to year, to kind of gauge and see how things going and listen to different opinions and, you know, thought-provoking ideas and discussions to get the needle moving and to move us forward, you know, as a culture and as a people, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what it's all about. And like I say, 2020, despite everything, you know, we can turn the negative into some positives and we can get some good up out of this, you know what I'm saying? My kids been homeschooled. I've been trying to, you know, I've been wanting to homeschool my kids for a long time to get them out of the system. So this has allowed me to, you know, at least they're doing virtual. And hopefully by the time, you know, they get older, get to high school, they can transition to being fully homeschooled, which is, you know, one of my goals. So, you know, I'm just taking everything as it comes and trying to use the negative for positive and for blessings to move forward. So I digress. You dig? I appreciate the fam, this Cosmic Kev. And I'll let y'all sign us out, baby. Let's go.
Yes, Mufasa is She's laying low this week.
I'm back. No, I'm back, y'all. I'm back, y'all.
Yes, sir.
As long as he was a kid,
yes, sir,
laying low. He hopped up.
I had to take care of something. Did you say something? What'd you say? You need something from me? What you got?
The only thing we need is some cold soup if you like. If not, then that's fine.
Closing remarks is 2020 started off rough, shaky. You know, we didn't survive it. We're pulling through it. I'm looking forward to 2021. I'm looking forward to being a greater family man, you know, taking care of my family, finances being on point. You know, I'm riding this thing out. You know, I can only control what I can control.
That's right.
With this COVID, all this other stuff, hey, it is what it is. I can only control what I can control. So I look forward to talking to y'all in 2021. I pray that everyone pulls through to 2021 and that everyone has success in all their endeavors. And
that's right.
We're gonna see what happens next year, y'all.
That's right.
Yeah.
On that note, assalamu alaikum to my fam, and I'll see y'all in 2021.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, and I'll just, want to encourage everybody, too. I like to look at the glass as half full. So I like to encourage people to also do that. 2020, just see it as opportunity. Like everything that you go through in life, see it as an opportunity to do something different and to do something greater than what you feel like you might be losing, or if something's not going your way. Look at it as an opportunity to do something even better and greater. But I'd like to still thank everybody for tuning in with us and rocking with us and holding us down and being a part of this show every week, tuning in with us. We really appreciate you guys for supporting us like this.
That's right.
We also want to remind you guys to send us an email if you have any show topic ideas. CollectTheMinds@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we just look forward to having you, having you have a discussion with us in year 21. Yeah.
Well, I must say this real quick, too. The back half of this year, I have to admit, we have slacked off in our social media, so we're going to try to get that back up and popping a little bit harder, too. So we still
find us on
social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. But, yeah, the back half of the year, yeah, we did slow down with that. But we'll try to get a little bit better.
Yes, indeed. Happy New Year's, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah. Hope 2021... be great for everybody.
That's right.
I say.
Stand on your square. We on the earn. We about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers. Word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things. Dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper. Who peeping the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
They thought.